Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on best practices for developing, deploying, and maintaining forms solutions. My name is Peter Lammers. This session will cover a number of best practices to effectively develop a form solution within your organization. We'll start by briefly introducing the key subjects that we're going to cover in this session. Typically, the first steps when creating any application include gathering specifications and requirements, designing the application, and finally, implementing the solution. We will examine each of these aspects in further detail. We will also look at different strategies for deploying form solutions. This is an area that companies ignore, which can be vital to the success or failure of the application. Deploying a product requires a plan similar to developing the product, which must be thoroughly tested and refined. Finally, we will review the maintenance of an application which has been deployed into a production environment. We will cover updating an application based on change management requests and how to ensure continual stability within an application through regression testing. As with most Microsoft TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to the session or to reference afterwards. It would be helpful to have some experience with InfoPath and how to leverage the built-in form templates, as well as how to create customized forms in InfoPath. In addition, it will be helpful to have some knowledge of how SharePoint Server works. With SharePoint 2007, Form Server has been integrated, which allows us to import and utilize InfoPath forms directly in our SharePoint sites. It will be helpful to have a basic understanding of how SharePoint works so that you can understand how to include InfoPath. Finally, some familiarity with Microsoft Visio would be helpful, since you may use this design tool when designing your application prior to implementation. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. The first section focuses on developing form solutions. We will look at concepts from gathering requirements to translating them into a design that will be used to implement the solution in InfoPath. After we examine how to develop the solution, we will examine how to deploy the implemented solution. This requires planning on how to deploy the solution in your environment. Typically, deployment requires deploying the solution to a test or staging environment first that mirrors the production environment. After a successful deployment to the staging server, deployment to the production server can occur. Finally, we will look at how to maintain a form solution that has already been deployed. This typically requires planning for change requests, designing the changes, implementation of the changes, testing the changes, which includes regression testing, and then redeploying the changes. So what is the first step? Whenever a project is first conceptualized, the idea is usually disseminated by upper management to a project manager with a request to implement and knowledge of how long it will take to complete. When the project manager receives this request, he or she must determine how many and which kind of developers are required. For example, a management team might determine that they would like a forms-based solution to track the training sessions that have been attended by different developers. Once the project manager receives this request, he or she must be able to organize this information into a requirements document, which can be read and leveraged by the developers creating the solution. After this document has been created, the project manager must not only submit the document to the group of developers, but also to upper management, requiring sign-off from all parties before development can begin. So how does one design a solution? First, the development team must look at how to design the solution before any implementation occurs. The developers working on the solution must first create the specification document, outlining how things are to be implemented based on the requirements document. Once the specification document is generated, the developers can then take this document and leverage a design tool such as Microsoft Visio 2007 to create a scenario in which the concept is turned into a possible solution. The design step allows all stakeholders in the project to still make changes, reducing overall time lost, and providing a much more cost-effective way to make changes other than implementing the solution and then making the changes. When the design document is done, a developer or designer can export the design into a usable stub that can be used directly with implementation. In this example, the forms document will not be exported, but if you were to create a database that pre-populated the form with some data, the database could be outlined here, and then exported into a usable DDL file, which can be run as a script in SQL Server Management Studio. Finally, after the design documents and implementation stubs are created, it is prudent to go back to the project manager for final approval before implementation. This is important because it allows one more checkpoint for managers to make any additional changes prior to implementation. Again, by allowing for change at this point, the cost of change is still relatively low, thereby making the overall solution more efficient. Now, we are ready to implement the solution. Now that the design documents have been finalized, a developer can implement the form solution. The first step is to either use the document stubs that were created by the design tool or translate the design document into a true implementation using the tool set required. As stated before, this solution uses Microsoft Visio to create the design documents. The form that is created and the process that is generated will be used as guidelines when implementation occurs. These design documents also act as documentation as to what should be included in the final deliverable. Using the design documents, the developers can now create the forms necessary in InfoPath and then upload the forms into the SharePoint team site, which is accessible by all team members. After implementation, what must happen? After implementation, it is important to ensure that proper testing procedures are outlined. Testing usually occurs first by the developer as white box testing. Although this testing is important, it is vital that black box testing be carried out by an external party within the organization or a partner. This type of testing should create and follow a testing plan that is designed by the quality assurance group. This documentation should track the types of tests that are run and what the result was, including the severity of the issue. This testing should include boundary tests, typical user tests, and overall usability tests. After the results are gathered, this information should be sent back to the developer group for assignment and resolution. Once resolution is achieved by the development team, the quality assurance team should retest the application to ensure not only that the issues sent to the development team have been addressed, but also that no new issues have been introduced. If new issues are found, the result list should be sent back to the development group for another iteration. Otherwise, the application should be passed into deployment. Now let's see a demonstration that looks at developing a form solution. This demonstration will look at how to use a requirements document to create design documents in Microsoft Visio that will then be used when creating forms in InfoPath. Finally, we will look at how to create the SharePoint site where the InfoPath form will be implemented and used. Many publications have been written about best practices with software development. With the introduction of Microsoft InfoPath 2007 and Microsoft SharePoint 2007, developers and users alike can benefit from the built-in tools that are available to help promote best practices in the development, deployment, and maintenance of these form solutions. In this demonstration, we'll look at the process to develop form solutions using a combination of Microsoft Office Visio 2007 and InfoPath 2007 to design, develop, and test an application before it is deployed. We will then look at how the application is deployed using SharePoint 2007, ideally to a staging or a testing environment, before it goes into production. This part of the demonstration will also look at how to roll back a server to its original state if a deployment error occurs. Finally, we'll look at how to incorporate change management into a form solution. We'll see that this encompasses all steps of the design, development, and deployment processes. Visio 2007 is a diagramming and data visualization solution that makes it easy for IT and business professionals to visualize, analyze, and communicate complex information, systems, and processes. By using this design tool, companies can easily share design ideas and concepts before development begins, avoiding costly mistakes and re-engineering that can occur after the project is in the implementation stage. With Visio 2007, there are some new interface tools that make the design application more robust and current with the Microsoft Windows XP operating system. Previously, Visio allowed you to create database and web application design documents. But with Visio 2007, you can create Windows XP user interfaces, which can be used to design standalone Win32 applications or even InfoPath forms. There are a number of common controls that can be added to a Windows form, such as text boxes, drop-down lists, checkboxes, and options. These controls have become standard in most user interfaces, whether the application is for the web or for a Win32 application. In this example, we will create a design document for a sales tracking application that will be implemented in InfoPath 2007. This form will allow sales associates to keep track of potential clients. Once the document is complete, Visio 2007 allows you to save the document for further editing at a later time. Visio also gives you the ability to export your design document into more portable document types, allowing you to share the design with external parties that may not have Visio 2007 installed on their local computers. This enhances collaboration and makes communication about the project more efficient. InfoPath 2007 is a Windows-based application for creating rich, dynamic forms that teams and organizations can use to gather, share, and reuse information, leading to improved collaboration and decision-making throughout your organization. With InfoPath 2007, you can easily transfer your design document into a workable form that can be shared between team members. Within the Design Task Navigation Scheme, you can choose how you would like to lay out your form. There are a number of predefined layouts that you can choose from, or you can customize your own layout to fit your needs. Once the layout has been selected, you can choose from a set of common controls that you can put into your form. Once these controls have been added, you can interact with them just as if you were creating a Win32 application. You can view the controls properties and update the control name. You can also easily add data validation to the control. There are a number of different options, depending on the type of control. The first name text box collects only string text, so we want to make sure that something was entered. You can also provide visual clues to the user by displaying a tooltip that will indicate that the field is required. Finally, you can display a message if invalid data is added to the control. In this example, both the first name and the last name fields are set up similarly with the same type of data validation. Ensuring that the field is not blank is the basic validation for a text box, but it could be more specific if you wanted to limit what names could be added to the form. Although the email control is a text box, we will apply different validation. In this case, we will add validation to the control by looking for different characters or symbols that we entered. One of the most basic validation measures is to ensure that the @ symbol has been properly entered in the email address. Although this validation is not completely robust, it does provide an initial filter to prevent costly mistakes as data is entered into the form. After the email text box is updated, You can update the phone text box as well, which will leverage another type of data validation. Text box controls can be validated by a pattern such as that found with a phone number or a social security number. In this example, we will use the built-in phone number pattern to validate the data entered into the phone text box. If the phone number entered does not match this pattern, a message will display indicating that an invalid phone number has been entered. You can add controls without any validation attached to them. However, it is still a good practice to make sure that the controls are named properly, with control names that are descriptive of their function. In this example, we'll add controls that are not required but that provide additional information about the potential client, like a checkbox that indicates whether a callback is required or not. We'll add a combo box that tells us which of the two products the client is interested in. Finally, we'll add a comments text box that allows for comments about the client. After the form has been created, it's important to save the file in case further editing is needed. Although Microsoft Office has an automatic recovery system, there is no guarantee that the document will be returned exactly as when you last worked on it. By saving your document continuously, you ensure that your most recent changes are available even if an interruption occurs. With InfoPath 2007, you can also publish your form directly from InfoPath to a SharePoint server. SharePoint 2007 improves organizational effectiveness by providing a unified suite of enterprise-scale applications that satisfies diverse business-critical needs, such as managing content and business processes, simplifying how people work together across boundaries, and enabling better informed decision-making. With SharePoint 2007, users are able to leverage InfoPath 2007 forms directly within their document libraries. SharePoint 2007 is still a web-based solution that incorporates a root-level website, providing administrators the ability to create new websites under the root with their own specific purposes and permissions. In this example, we'll create a sales portal for the sales team so that they can use the sales tracking form that was created in InfoPath. Once the site has been created, you can easily manage the permissions of the site. In the site settings, you can create a group of people that is allowed access to the site and that can interact with all forms and other functionality. You can assign visitors to the site who can see the information but have limited access to its functionality. You can also assign members to the site who can contribute content to the website. Finally, you can set who the owner of the site is so that this person can administer this specific site. In this example, we will create three groups: Sales Portal Visitors, Sales Portal Members, and Sales Portal Owners. Once the groups have been created, you can assign specific users to each of these groups. Then, when they log on, they will see information on the site based on their user access level. Testing is one of the most vital components of any application development project. Testing typically is ignored or glossed over without much consideration. This can be a costly mistake, because if the application is untested and then goes into production, users will then be burdened with finding errors and are more likely to be unforgiving about the exceptions found than a developer test or a good quality assurance team. Overall, testing reduces the risk that an application will be unsuccessful and reduces the overall cost of the development effort by detecting issues prior to deployment. InfoPath 2007 makes it simple to test an application and determine if the form is going to perform as expected. When a form is in design mode, you can easily preview the form and interact with its functionality, and then quickly go back into design mode if errors are found. This makes testing more convenient and streamlined for developers who are performing white box testing. As well, quality assurance groups can use this preview to perform black box testing, and developers can revert into design mode to adjust the application based on the feedback received without actually deploying the application and then having to roll back the server. In this example, we have error checking in place for the first and last name fields, as well as for the email address field. However, we were expecting to see an error message if the at symbol was omitted. It was clearly entered in this test pass. As well with the phone number, we see the pattern entered did not fit with the pattern expected. Therefore, an error message was displayed, indicating an invalid phone number. To finish our test, we'll indicate that callback is required, select the product that the client is interested in, and type a comment. If we switch back to design mode in InfoPath 2007, we can correct the runtime errors that were seen. By accessing the email text box properties, we see that we can go into the data validation rules and modify the rule. We see that our rule was set to contains, which meant that if the at symbol was found, it would throw an error. This was a logical error and is corrected by changing contains to does not contain. This type of error would most likely have been caught by an end user right away, but it would have prevented the user from performing his or her work or forced the end user to enter invalid data to continue working. For the phone number field, we can check the pattern and see the pattern that the form is expecting. This is not a logical or a syntactical error with this rule, but it could be confusing to the end user because it is unclear what pattern is expected. Therefore, it can be helpful to provide feedback in the dialog box, indicating what pattern is expected so that users can enter their data correctly. After these changes have been made, you can once again preview the form and enter data to see if these changes have been properly applied. After the tests pass, you can move on to quality assurance testing using their test scripts. It is important that this team document all the issues that are found, as well as how they reproduce these errors. The more detail provided makes the correction cycle shorter and more efficient. Now we can save the document and exit InfoPath. Now we'll look at how to deploy a form solution that has been developed and tested. As with development, it is important to look at how to create an effective plan to fully deploy an application, thereby ensuring a smooth experience for the users. What is the first step of deployment? When companies look at deploying any kind of application, particularly form solutions, deployment plans are typically more ad hoc than planned. This can lead to a number of issues, which could be prevented with a detailed deployment plan that is used throughout the process. The first step is to know where you are planning on deploying the solution. It is important to look at not only what type of environment you are deploying to, such as a test server or a production server, but also to look at what type of solution you are deploying, such as a standalone application versus a web application. In the case of a form solution, it's something of a hybrid, because the SharePoint site is a web environment while the InfoPath Forms is a Windows application. Another important feature of the deployment plan is to have a staging or a testing server in place. The staging server should mirror the production server exactly. It should have similar hardware configuration as well as software configuration. This provides another checkpoint, helping you anticipate issues that might arise on the production server. In addition, if there are issues on the staging server, the ramifications are low because users are usually not working on the server with live data. Finally, after these considerations are in place, it is important to document the deployment plan. This will provide a hard copy document that can be used not only by the originator, but also by anyone else who might want to deploy this application again. This reduces overall errors and reduces overall cost by making the deployment smoother. What about testing the deployment plan? Just as with development, it is vital to also test the deployment plan before the solution is deployed to the production server. After the deployment plan has been written, this script should be tested between the development server and the staging server. After the application is sent to the staging server, all issues should be recorded and associated to a certain step in the deployment plan. These issues should then be sent back to the development team for resolution and rescripting. If issues do arise, the staging server must be reverted back to its original state so that a clean deployment test can be repeated after the issues are resolved. After the developers revise the script, the quality assurance team must restart the testing of the deployment from the development server to the staging server. Again, the resolutions must be tested, and any regression testing must happen to uncover any issues that have been introduced. This process continues until all issues have been resolved. So how do we deploy the application? Now that the deployment script has been written and tested effectively, it is ready for deployment to the production server. The deployment plan should now be used to move the application from the staging server to the production server. If any issues arise, they should be recorded and sent back to the development group, and the production server should be rolled back to its original state. This process should be fairly smooth, moving from the staging server to the production server. However, it is important to be aware that issues do occur, and it is important to have a contingency plan for when issues arise, moving from the staging server to the production server. If the deployment is successful, then the build number should be recorded and documented and kept for the next iteration. This helps expose if the current version of the application has been applied. Let's look at a demonstration that deploys the form solution. This demonstration looks at the deployment plan, in particular, how to deploy a form solution to a staging server. This demonstration also shows how deployment plan flaws are addressed and the application redeployed successfully. Deploying a form solution can be just as challenging and time-consuming as the design and implementation process. It is important to keep in mind that deployment should follow its own process and protocol. If a protocol is in place, deployment will be fairly smooth. If there are issues, the deployment should have a contingency plan implemented or rollback plan outlined. With SharePoint 2007, you can deploy form solutions by adding the form to the Document Center in the Root Web application. By deploying to the Root Web application, you can do more than just upload the document. You can also document the version and any comments that might be useful about the document. You have direct access to source code control mechanism that will track the version of the form solution that is uploaded. This ensures that you are using the most recent form solution or baseline version, if necessary. You can also deploy directly from the Root Web application to any children applications, and they will be guaranteed to get the most recent version of an application that is stored in the root. In this example, we will deploy this application to the sales portal under the Shared Documents document library. We can then navigate to the sales portal and view the copy of the sales tracking application there. As stated before, it is vital that there is a deployment plan written before deployment of any application is performed. A rollback strategy should also be in place in case an incorrect version or an interruption occurs during the deployment. With SharePoint 2007, you can view all the versions of a particular InfoPath form that has been uploaded. This provides a good ledger, indicating the versions of an application that have been submitted to the server. In the version history area, you have the option to delete all of the versions that have been uploaded to the server, or you can delete just the minor versions in case you want to perform some server cleanup. In this example, we assume that something has gone awry with the deployment. Therefore, we must delete the InfoPath form that was uploaded to the server. In the Sales Tracking Application list, we can select the Delete option from the drop-down list. This removes the form from the root web and the central repository. However, the rollback is not yet complete because a copy was sent to the sales portal. Since the assumption is that the whole application is corrupt, you must also navigate to the sales portal and delete the local copy there. It is a good idea to track any child websites that have a copy of the form solution in case a rollback becomes necessary. All rollbacks should return the server back to its original state before the deployment to ensure consistent deployment when the form is redeployed. Once a form has been corrected and is ready for deployment, you can follow the deployment script again to deploy the correct form. If the deployment script is flawed, it must be corrected before redeployment. Once again, the form is added to the root website in SharePoint. As the form is added, you can see that the version that is tracked is the same, which is what we expect to see, because we want to redeploy the current version, not upgrade the application. If we were upgrading the application, we would expect to see another version of the application stored in SharePoint. Again, after the form solution is added to the repository, you can send a copy of the application to the Sales Portal website. Now the sales team will have the correct version of the form. Once the application has been deployed, it is important to once again test the form to ensure that it's still performing as expected. In this case, we will enter a test case again to make sure that the form accepts the data. We will enter data that we expect would fail. After we see the validation appear, we assume that this cursory test has passed. Again, these forms must be tested using a quality assurance team that scrutinizes the form, its function, and its usability. The primary function of the quality assurance team is to try and make the form's functions fail by entering invalid data or variance in expected data types. Effective tests also include testing the upper and lower boundaries of each control and making sure the application handles all errors gracefully. we could save the data from the form directly into an XML file. Finally, with InfoPath 2007, you can export all your form data into a central data location, such as Microsoft Office Excel. With this functionality, we can export the data from the current form, as well as add additional form data to perform quantitative measures on the data. After we look at the data, we can exit Excel 2007. Let's look at what's next on the agenda. In this final section, we'll look at how to maintain a form solution that has already been deployed to a production server. What is involved in maintaining a solution? After an application is deployed, application enhancement and evolution continues. Maintenance of an application becomes a major component of the development cycle after deployment. If companies are prepared for good maintenance, they will be much more successful working with an application and more apt to handle issues and changes. The first thing to address is keeping track of the application and how it's running on the server. Even with extensive testing, it is important to ensure how responsive the application is. For form solutions, often it is necessary to monitor whether the team site is available and whether the form is available for download or use. Given that most companies have many projects in the queue, it is not practical or even possible to manually monitor all the solutions deployed. Implementing automated alerts that monitor the website health can reduce the amount of downtime that a team site might have if something were to fail. In addition, companies can implement server monitors to watch how the application is performing to ensure that optimal performance is achieved. In the case of the form solution, it would be prudent to monitor not only the CPU and RAM usage on the computer, but also the network usage to ensure that remote users can get the application in a timely manner. What about when a change request is received? Invariably, change is going to happen after an application is deployed. The key is to be able to handle these changes with the least amount of interruption. With a good plan, application modification can have low impact on the overall development cycle. After a change request is received, the process should proceed the same as with new development. The change should be designed with buy-in by the stakeholders. With proper sign-off, the change should be implemented and then tested by the developer with a set of white box tests. After those tests are passed, the application should be tested by the quality assurance group before it is deployed to the staging server. After the change has been deployed to the staging server, the QA group should again verify that the change has been effectively updated in the application. And then the application should be uploaded to the production server. Again, if any issues arise between deployment to the staging server or the production server, these servers should be reverted back to the original state. And then the deployment script should be updated or the application should be updated and redeployed. What about regression testing? One of the most important aspects of any change request and form server maintenance is regression testing. This type of testing is vital to ensure not only that the new functionality is in place and functioning correctly, but also that the original functions are still operating as expected. To effectively test a change request after the change has been implemented, you first test the application on the development server and then test it again on the staging server. Once the application is tested successfully on the staging server, it should be assumed that the application is ready for production. To effectively test regressively, the new functionality should be tested, and then all the previous tests should be run again to make sure the original functionality is still valid. The testing script should be modified as necessary to account for the new change request, and then versioned and stored in a document repository or source code control. If issues arise, they should be documented and then the results sent back to the developer for further review and modification. After the resolution is in place, the testing should resume again with a full test pass that includes testing of the new changes and the old functionality as before. Once these tests have successfully passed, then the product should be ready for deployment to the production server with a new build number and version. Let's look at a demonstration that focuses on the maintenance of a form solution. In this demonstration, we'll look at how to handle change requests in our form solution. We'll then look at how to redeploy to the staging server and perform regression testing on the modified solution. With a typical development cycle, the majority of time spent on a product has to do with maintenance. How well the product was designed and implemented influences how much time is spent maintaining the solution. If the solution is too rigid, change may require complete redesign and re-implementation in the worst case. However, most changes can be applied to a software solution. With InfoPath Forms, it is fairly straightforward to change the interface and functionality of existing forms. But there is a risk these alterations may cause current functionality to become unusable by end users. Change requests must be carefully examined and designed before implementation to assure that they will be properly integrated into a functioning application. In addition, any changes that occur must be tested, not only by the developer, but also by the quality assurance team to make sure that the application continues to function as it did previously, including the new functions. This regression testing must be performed every time a new piece of functionality is added or updated to handle any interdependencies that may exist within the software. In this example, we look at the sales tracker form that was created in InfoPath 2007. A change request has been sent requiring an upgrade to the sales tracker form. There is a need for an additional comment box in the form. This comment box will hold additional information such as anniversaries, birthdays, or other personal client information that will help the sales associate relate to the potential client. Since we are changing an existing form, InfoPath 2007 will suggest that we create a new version of this form so that we do not break existing functionality in the previous version. This feature helps prevent users from updating existing forms and breaking existing functionality. In this case, however, we are only adding to the form instead of changing any existing controls. Therefore, we will overwrite the form. Although the current form was upgraded with a new control, the form should still be thoroughly tested again to make sure that it's still usable by the sales team. Again, since we are in InfoPath 2007 Designer, we can simply preview the form and interact as if it were deployed to the server. To test the application, not only is the new control tested with data, but the other controls are also tested. This example shows a simple test to make sure that the validation on the email and phone number fields are still applicable. But before it is deployed, a quality assurance group should examine this new form with their test scripts to ensure confidence in the new form. After the form has been tested, we can save the modified form and exit InfoPath. Finally, after the new changes have been designed, implemented, and retested, the form should be ready for redeployment to the server. This process should again follow the previous deployment script. If any issues arise, rollback should go back to the previous version of the form instead of deleting all the forms from the server. It is assumed that this is the new baseline of the staging and production servers. With SharePoint 2007, this new change can be added by uploading the document into the document library. Again, we will add a title for the form, as well as any version comments that apply to this form. You will see the new version number that is automatically assigned to this new document. Once the document has been uploaded, you can view the history of the document. In this case, you can see the two different versions with their corresponding dates and version comments. In the document library, you can also redeploy this new version to the sales portal. This requires no additional interaction, as the portal knows to replace the previous version with this new version. Therefore, when a sales associate accesses the sales portal to use the sales tracker form, he or she will automatically see the new version and can begin interacting with it. Finally, we can exit InfoPath now that we are done viewing the new form. Let's review what we've covered today. In this session, we looked at some effective strategies when developing form solutions. These strategies can be implemented by your company, making your development more efficient and cost-effective. By creating a development process, companies can ensure that solutions will be generated in a certain way with a certain level of confidence. Without a process in place, a form solution may get delivered, but it may not function as expected or may take much longer to achieve deployment. We then looked at different methods for deploying form solutions. These deployment strategies allow us to install our applications more effectively in a production environment, reducing concern that everything will function as expected. Without a deployment strategy, the successful deployment confidence decreases, and updating becomes ad hoc and unreliable in most cases. Finally, we looked at effective ways to maintain a form solution. We looked at how to monitor a production application to ensure its online status and stability. We also looked at how to effectively implement and deploy a change request. These methods will reduce the overall cost of maintenance, which typically becomes the majority of time spent throughout the development life cycle. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-112 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. First Look 2007 Office discusses how Office has changed with the introduction of Office 2007 and how to integrate it into your business. Workflow in Office 2007 discusses how to use Office 2007 to help information workers share data, enforce processes and business rules, and work more efficiently either together or solo. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, Microsoft Press Books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals who support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The course that best supports this session is Experience the 2007 Microsoft Office System, which will be available soon. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press Books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Carolyn McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows, and servers. Support when you need it, including two free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base, and more. Work on your skills at your own pace. E-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of three support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.